accumulation, preservation, generation. At Busey Bank, these are the principles we use to build meaningful financial partnerships with our clients and their families. With sound advice and vast resources, partner with Busey for a personalized approach to your legacy. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Member FDIC.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, May 7th. It is 7 minutes after nine. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So what do you want to talk about? The severe weather that's headed our way?
Oh, man.
The horrible loss from the Pacers last night?
You mean the refs versus the Pacers, Casey?
Yes, that's what I mean.
You mean how the Pacers almost won that game, even though it was legitimately 8-on-5 out there last night? Oh, my gosh. Is that what we're leading with?
No, that's not what we're leading with.
Something's bigger than the Pacers?
It is a tweet that was sent out this morning by Adam Wrenn, an article in Politico.
Oh, yeah.
And this is amazing. It got my attention right away.
Yeah.
I was hoping, no, this can't be clickbait, and it seems like it's not. He said, Indiana's GOP gubernatorial primary has become so divisive that Governor Eric Holcomb and Lieutenant Governor Suzanne Crouch have exchanged words just once in 6 months. Holcomb's handpicked former party chair calls her toxic.
Okay, Casey, I'm going to give you two options here with this story, okay? Because obviously it's election day and people are voting in the primary.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to do some traditional, reliable Rob Kendall super hot take on this? Or do you actually want me to put some thought and meaning behind what you're telling me and try to dig a little deeper into the soul of the American fabric?
Aren't
your
they,
choice.
Aren't they one and the same? Don't you dig deep with your hot takes?
All right. So let's take a little different approach with this, because what Adam Wrenn is saying there is something that most of us who follow this very closely have known for a very long time, which is that for a variety of reasons, Suzanne Crouch and Eric Holcomb can't stand each other. And I actually think at the core of this, I think at her core, because I worked for Suzanne Crouch for about 6 months. You may know, Casey, I had the real thrill of working for three separate state auditors in about a 9-month period of my life that I would certainly like to have back. And I found Suzanne Crouch to be a pretty decent human being in the 6-ish months that I worked for her. And I think she has a strained relationship with the governor, and by strain, I mean they don't talk and they don't like each other and they can't stand each other, because at her core, she recognizes, as a decent human being, the horrific job Eric Holcomb has done in terms of harming regular people, repeatedly going at goodness and decency in the name of propping up a very select group of people and group of causes. I think that is what has happened behind the scenes and why that relationship has been strained. However, and this is what should be the red flag to everyone, is that everybody that is sort of connected or involved or engaged in the political world knows the lieutenant governor cannot stand the governor, and knows that the governor has created immense harm to regular people in the state of Indiana. However, Casey, have you heard her publicly say one thing critical of Eric Holcomb during this entire campaign?
No, and she had the opportunity. You asked her point blank, and she said she gave him an A.
And this is where people need to wake up about what's going on. So you have a lieutenant governor who clearly is at odds with the governor because of his policies. But yet she refuses. She, in fact, has gone out of her way not to say anything critical of the governor, which she knows the policies have harmed regular people, because she feared the political backlash that came with doing what was right.
Mm-hmm.
She feared the political backlash of doing what was right, and she feared that backlash because she wanted to be governor since the moment she became lieutenant governor, because let's face it, Suzanne Crouch is a political riser. She went from county auditor to state rep to state auditor to lieutenant governor. The next and last logical step at her age is the governor. And so because she spent 7 years plotting on how to be the governor, repeatedly, she refused to ever challenge Eric Holcomb, thus the name, Casey, Silent Suzanne.
Right.
This has been going on. This is not new. This has been going on for 7 years. And so if you're a voter today, you have to ask yourself, if in the case of Suzanne Crouch, you have a person who knows the difference between right and wrong, she knows what Eric Holcomb has done, whether it is the Medicaid debacle or the LEAP stuff or the tax increases or the mask mandate or the shutdown. She admitted all of those things on our show were wrong, but yet refuses to take on the guy who did the things. Why would you possibly believe that when she becomes governor, she's going to fight for you as a regular person?
If she's not fighting for herself and her right. own beliefs, why is she going to fight for the voter?
She had such an opportunity, and I've told her this, and we've told, you know, our very, very good friend, the most handsome man in all of Indiana politics and government, Robert Vane, who's her communications guru, we've told Robert this, that she had such an opportunity to win this primary if she had come out and almost like in a Grinch stole Christmas moment mm-hmm. where, you know, he's got the sled and it's about to fall over with all the Who toys and he finds the strength of 10 Grinches plus two. If she'd have come rip roaring out of the gate mm-hmm. and she'd have said, look, I have fought with this guy behind the scenes for 7 years. I've tried everything I know how to stop him from all the crap that he has pulled. And this is now the only way that I know left is to run for governor and publicly talk about all of the crap that Eric Holcomb has pulled and all of the bad things he has done and how it has harmed regular people. She would be the nominee for governor right now,
Casey. It seems to me like she's really trying to thread the needle.
Because you can't do it.
She wants to get her own voters, her own supporters, plus she wants to take his supporters with her without saying anything bad about him. And that's a really tough position to be in. Now, she did say when she was here, she wasn't going to tell us the private conversations they had.
See? And this is my point.
It sounds like maybe she told him what she was thinking. However, he didn't listen because he's the boss.
Well, and remember, they've treated her like garbage. She's been totally subservient to Eric Holcomb for 7 years. She raised millions of dollars. Suzanne Crouch raised millions of dollars for Eric Holcomb, and they took her off the sign in 2020. Mm-hmm. The sign didn't say Holcomb Crouch, it said Holcomb. And so this is the politician, and that's what Suzanne Crouch is. That's what Mike Braun is. These people are not outsiders. Everyone other than Rittenour running for governor is a politician. Every single one of these people running for governor, even Curtis, is a politician. Doden, politician. You do not rise to the level of the head of the IEDC. It is the most powerful appointed position in all of state government because you're some outsider fighter of the man, fighter of the system, champion of the little guy. Don't happen. Chambers, Doden, they're on the same level of Braun and Crouch. And obviously Curtis was a many, many term prosecutor and then the attorney general. He's been trying to get back into public office since the moment he got out. All of them but Rittenour are politicians. And the politicians' default movement is always to whatever they believe politically might be best for them. And often, as they've been throughout this campaign, they've been wrong. Because what they don't recognize, because the politician hires political people to provide political solutions, is that the people are going to vote in a Republican primary, and we have begged them for months now on this, and no one will listen to us. And everybody other than Braun, likely tomorrow, is going to look around going, boy, I wish we'd listen to them. What they don't realize is the people are looking for someone real. They're looking for someone to say, to steal a line from Bill Clinton, I feel your pain. I understand you. I understand that politics has created this problem. And I'm going to step outside the comfortable political bubble, and I'm going to shake some cages, and I'm going to stick this giant, you know, broom handle in that hornet's nest, and I'm going to see what flies out. Well, and none of them will do it.
Well, it's really clear that the governor doesn't see Crouch as his successor. He hasn't endorsed anybody. Neither has Mitch Daniels, by the way. And Suzanne Crouch, along with these five other candidates, they have sunk in $40 million trying to become your governor.
All right, so real quick before we get to break, one other thing with this Suzanne stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Suzanne Crouch is the best example imaginable of what we are telling you about the delegates today and about getting Micah Beckwith elected as lieutenant governor. An independent voice that is not beholden to the party or the system. Imagine in 2020, if instead of silent Suzanne, you had some strong independent person who, when Holcomb was coming out there with Dr. Box gynecologist, and making all these proclamations and ridiculously finger wagging at society, claiming he was, quote, trusting the science. Imagine if you had someone with a bully pulpit who could have captured the same level of media attention with a large amount of importance and gravitas saying he's full of crap. There's nothing scientific about what he's doing. He's not saving you. He's not helping you. He's got his power pants on. Forcing people to wear a mask or stand 6 feet apart or closing restaurants or not allowing people to go to church. This guy's full of crap. Now you have an opportunity to do that with the lieutenant governor's race that's coming up. And so there's so much, there's so many moving parts right now. And in a weird way, Suzanne Crouch, whether it is this governor's race or the lieutenant governor's race, is the best example for everything of what happens and how your government can erode when you have people in positions of power who have the ability to do something, who put politics over the taxpayer.
Side note, where does one buy a pair of power pants?
I don't know, Casey. I don't shop very much anymore. Maybe TJ Maxx has a nice price on one of those.
It is Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
It's the Kendall and Casey Show.
Baby steps. Baby steps. Baby steps through the office. Baby steps out the door.
On 93 WIBC.
Strong, Kevin.
Well, unfortunately for the Pacers, the Knicks have the most biased whistle in the league. Oh, no. That game last night has a lot of people upset today.
Did you watch the game last night?
It was on, and I heard a lot of yelling. And after, you know, I tried to have a conversation with the dude, and he pretty much was like, wait a minute. There's 12 seconds left. Like, stop talking, woman. I'm watching this.
My wife, and she didn't mean to do this, but she did the nicest thing possible for me last night. So you know I don't have cable. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, my neighbor has cable. Yeah. So I go over to his house quite a bit and watch. And so my wife came over and Libby came with me. And so I'm kind of babysitting and she's crawling around and, you know, you're watching the game a little bit. And then about halftime, she's like, I'm really tired. I'm going to bed. And I thought, okay, that's fine. And then she goes, I'm just going to take Libby with me. And I was like, a whole half of basketball without a wife or a kid next to me?
Jackpot!
And I feigned the, oh no, are you?
Don't go.
Are you sure you gotta?
I'll miss you.
As I rapidly walked both of them across the lawn.
Let me make sure you get home safely, but quickly.
And so the second half of that game, Casey, mm-hmm. It was 8-on-5. I mean, it was nice of the NBA to let Patrick Ewing and mm-hmm. John Starks and Charles Oakley mm-hmm. ref the second half of that game. There were three, Casey, just blatantly horrible calls, and the fact that all three of them went against the Pacers.
Yeah.
The kicked ball, mm-hmm. the foul on the rebound, which, I mean, I don't know how anybody could have looked at that. Even Pat Riley looked at that and was like, oh, yeah, that was pretty much a foul on the Knicks. And then, of course, that moving screen at the end, which is a judgment call, and you never make that call at the end of the game. You never allow a game to be decided on a call like that. It was complete crap. The refs stole that game from the Pacers last night. And, man, it is rare that you see a universal consensus amongst the media on anything. Mm-hmm. And even the New York people are like, yeah, that was some bad officiating
last night. We kind of got away with that. Okay, so the refs called that kickball. The Pacers lost out on that fast break layup. Miles Turner had that questionable illegal screen. One of Bronson's fouls was reversed after the review, right?
This is what I'm saying, Casey. Almost
two points from Halliburton weren't allowed.
Every single call when it gets to the Pacers. You know, it's one thing, like, okay, there was one call and it was close, and mm-hmm. yeah, we didn't agree with that. But to have almost every single call down the stretch go against the Pacers and to have a 9-point lead in the garden, mm-hmm. and you got to win at least one there. That was a killer last night for the Pacers. It was a total killer because you had all that momentum. You were playing so well. And for the refs to steal the game from the Pacers. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's one side of it. But the other side of it is, Casey.
Yeah.
Now, I know you have lived all over the fruited plain and you have ventured many miles. And I know you've never before now really been a central Indiana person, correct?
Yeah.
So I'm curious, in the 90s, outside of Indianapolis, when it was Hicks versus Nix, did the rest of the state have the same fervor for that, like 93, 94, 95? Was there the same energy in, say, South Bend for Hicks versus Nix as there was in Indianapolis?
Central Indiana? Yeah. No, because that was more Bulls.
Right. Okay. So my point on this
Michael
is
Jordan.
Last night, and that game leading up to last night, I the whole day turned into a 10-year-old kid again. I distinctly can remember being with my parents in the car going to look at, this is how relevant that Reggie Miller game was, where he scored, what are that, 8 points or 9 points, whatever it was, in a few seconds. I remember exactly where I was. I remember being in the car with my parents listening to the game on the radio. We were going to look at cars, of all things. And I remember getting out of the car and going to some car dealership and getting back in the car, and the game was over and the Pacers won, and it was like, What the hell just happened here? And those Knicks and Pacers rivalry in the games of the mid-90s were such a part of my childhood. And last night, that lead up to that game
brought it all back.
It was like, it was so awesome. And to have all of that and that passion and enthusiasm and momentum and have it stolen from you, stolen by the refs.
Well, I think here's the hot take. The refs are not liking all the attention that the WNBA is getting. And they're like, you know what? We need to revitalize this, you know, opposition.
That stinks, Casey. That stinks to have the refs go into business for themselves and steal that game. I mean, it's so deflating, because as a fan, you're like, we went into the Garden. Mm-hmm. We had the game won. We played better. We should have won the game. And because of three guys in stripes,
Miles Turner said, you can't leave the game to be decided by the refs. We had to take accountability as well. We know at the end of the day, we can't get in that position.
Yeah, they made some mistakes, but come on, Casey. You can't win when it's 8-on-5. You can't win when every single close call almost goes against your team. You can't. That foul and that rebound, I mean, Macho Man Randy Savage would have been like, dude, you were a little aggressive to that Knicks player on that rebound. And it's like, not a foul? Mm-hmm. I mean, come on!
Well, now they know going into the next game, they have to make that lead so commanding right out of the gate.
I think they're going to have a really tough time winning the next game, and then you're down 2-0, and gosh darn it, Casey. That was so frustrating.
Heartbreaking. It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. Well, it may be primary day, but we've got more important things to talk about.
Oh, man.
Bang. The Kendall and Casey show just got extremely better. Our package was delivered.
Yeah, so our man Mitchell, he had actually sent this to me on, Thursday. He had sent me a message, one of our great listeners, and he's like, hey, I've sent you a package. And just let me know when it gets there. Well, I was out Thursday and Friday, and then just had a million things going on yesterday. It was down at the front desk. I had totally forgotten that it was even there. And our man Steven brought it up. And so we opened it during the break. And Casey.
Yes.
Our listeners.
They're the best.
Are just the best. It is a mini fridge.
It is the cutest mini fridge ever. It holds 6 cans.
I love this so much. It's small, so I'll be able to like hide it in our office. And you can fit 6 cans of soda in there.
Yep.
And it's just perfect. It's probably very environmentally friendly, and it probably uses a limited amount of whatever it is, electricity or whatever, to cool the sodas. And
There's even a little removable storage shelf on the side of the door. You can put some candy bars in there.
Absolutely.
It's so little. It looks like it could run on batteries.
I love this so much. Our man Mitchell sent that to us, and thank you very much for doing that. And yes, Mitchell, I did open that. You know, I say I normally don't open the mail, but it came from Amazon.
Right, so you figured you were safe.
I feel relatively secure that Amazon is not interested in
nefarious activities.
Yeah, so I did open it. And that's awesome. We'll plug it in during the break at the top of the hour. And awesome.
Yeah.
Now, game on.
Can we do like 4 Pepsis and maybe 2 Cokes?
If you'd like to.
Will you give me 2 Cokes?
You've been kind of mean to me lately, though.
I have not been mean to you.
I'll need you to plug it in for me, Casey. So yeah, you can put something in there.
And I can. That's actually one that I can carry.
Yeah.
I'm not going to need assistance.
It's amazing, and it's small enough. Like I said, it'll put an onus on me not to bring in like 9,000 Cokes. Mm-hmm. It'll put the onus on me to kind of stock it each day.
Yeah.
And that's going to be perfect.
You are all set. Congratulations.
How about that?
Let's talk about what's going on with you, Clark County.
Oh, geez.
They suspended the chief deputy auditor because of this Jamie Knoll investigation. Okay. We've been following this for a while, so let's give an update.
Okay, so let's do a real quick, because Clark County is Jeffersonville. So mm-hmm. let's give a real quick reminder to everybody of who Jamie Knoll is and why you should care about something going on in Jeffersonville. So Jamie Knoll was the former sheriff of Clark County.
Mm-hmm.
He was county chairman, Republican county chairman of Clark County. He was a part of what they call the Central Committee for the State Republican Party, which made him one of probably the 20 most powerful Republicans in the entire state. He was also, and maybe probably best known, he was kind of the central character in a reality show, or one of the central characters in a reality show called 60 Days In. It aired on A&E, where they took regular people and they put them undercover in the Clark County jail. They had hidden cameras, and these people's job was to get information from the various inmates about nefarious activity, etc. However, the reason it relates to you, regardless of where you live in the state of Indiana, is Jamie Knoll was one of the closest, if not the best friend of Governor Eric Holcomb. And not only was he one of his best friends, if not the best friend personally, he was politically one of the governor's closest, most reliable allies, who was very involved in Eric Holcomb becoming governor of the state of Indiana and remaining governor of the state of Indiana in
mm-hmm.
2020.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out magically, Casey, once Jamie Knoll was no longer sheriff of Clark County, that he had allegedly done some pretty underhanded things to the point when he was sheriff, to the point where he is now facing, I believe it's 25 felony charges.
Mm-hmm.
The federal authorities are looking into him. Many people believe there will be further charges coming. His wife is implicated in this. His daughter is implicated in this. It is now believed that he was living millions upon millions of dollars above his means. It also relates to a volunteer fire department. This guy was a very, very, very bad actor. He also had a child out of wedlock that everybody in Indiana politics and government who was remotely connected or paying attention knew about, that somehow never got reported on, and I believe allegedly was using illicit funds to help fund that whole endeavor. And so the question we have continued to ask with Jamie Knoll is, the guy was allegedly living millions of dollars above his means.
Mm-hmm.
His whole family is implicated in this thing. The governor, by his own volition, based on social media posts, which the internet lives forever, Casey, was super connected to this guy and to his family. And on top of that, was politically joined at the hip with this guy. How is it possible that one of your best friends in the entire world and one of your closest political allies fostered a child out of wedlock and was living millions upon millions of dollars above his means, allegedly, and you had no idea that was going on?
There's now news that the Clark County auditor confirmed that the chief deputy auditor was recently suspended after the office did their due diligence. Why was she suspended? Well, because they found text messages on her phone showing a relationship with Jamie Knoll and continuing conversations about elements of the active investigation.
So this lady was the deputy auditor, WAHHS-11. So by the way, for some reason, the Indianapolis media will not touch this story. And this blows my mind, Casey, that you have the governor and arguably his best friend is accused of horrific things, certainly a huge betrayal of the public trust. And nobody in Indianapolis media will pin Holcomb down on what he knew and when. Thankfully, the media down the Louisville, Jeffersonville area media, the Southern Indiana media, Southeast Indiana media has done a phenomenal job of covering this. And mm-hmm. WAHAS-11 has this story. And this is it goes back to how connected this guy actually was. And this is what I'm trying to get through to people with the Jamie Noel saga, is this was not some local yokel, some goof county sheriff, some, you know, hayseed hillbilly idiot living in southern Indiana. This guy, mm-hmm. it was one of the guys in the Republican Party, one of the power brokers, one of the people who decided whether candidates politically lived or died. This guy was a dude to the point where allegedly he's now engaging while he's, I mean, the evidence of the, against this guy, Casey, is overwhelming mm-hmm. what they have on him. And I'm not even talking about the federal side of things. They're still doing their deal. I'm talking about what state police and the local authorities have dug up on this guy. It's overwhelming. And yet he's so powerful that despite overwhelming evidence of actions that this guy took, which are likely going to land him in prison for probably a significant amount of time, but is he still in jail? Because remember, he got his bond revoked, right? Because he didn't follow the orders of the judge, mm-hmm. and the judge put him in the jail for 60 days for not following the orders. But even despite all of that, he still had enough pull that allegedly a deputy county auditor mm-hmm. was engaging in conversation with this guy, yeah. giving him information about what was going on. That's how connected this guy was.
Well, she said that she was trying to conduct her own inquiry and wanted to see what his reaction would be. But they've also uncovered that there was like a 3-year relationship between the two, where there were messages going back and forth that included tickets to a Cincinnati Reds game and drinks at a Jeffersonville bar. So they have a friendly relationship.
I told this story before. I think I met Jamie Noel one time in my life that I can remember. And it was when I first went to work for the state auditor's office. And my job was basically to drive the car and help with the schedule and, mm-hmm. you know, a couple other odds and ends. And I was new to the job, and we met this guy, and I thought this was very weird at the time. We met him, I think it was at a McDonald's. And I was like, why are we meeting? You're the state auditor and he's a county sheriff. Why are we meeting this guy at a McDonald's? And the vibe that guy gave off, and this was whatever that was, 10, 11 years ago now. And at the time, I went out of that meeting and I told the guy who was a state auditor, I was like, that is weird. And it is amazing, Casey, how your instincts on people.
Right. You were right.
Ultimately kind of play out, because I was like, something is off about that dude. And again, I'll ask the question, why in Indianapolis media, when you have a free, you have an opportunity, if you're a member of the Indianapolis media, this could be the story that breaks your career. And yet nobody wants to ask Holcomb about this. Who knows what the connection between Noel and Holcomb actually was and what Holcomb actually knew? And yet the Indianapolis media, now obviously I can't go up and ask the question. I'm sure there's some sort of shoot on sight order if I get within 30 yards of the guy. But people who have access to the governor, mm-hmm. and nobody will ask him. Your best friend and one of your closest political allies is accused of horrific stuff. Living millions of dollars.
What did you know, and when did you know it?
Yes, it amazes me. Nobody wants to do any legwork on this whatsoever, and it just blows my mind.
All right, so Kevin Spacey has endorsed RFK Jr. Geez. Donald Trump is also tweeting out on behalf of Mike Braun. Those things are coming up on 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You got a problem with your phone this morning? What's going on over there? You just got a brand new refrigerator. Now you need a new phone?
No. The phone is working fine.
Okay.
You know, knock on wood. But Kevin made a good point during the break. Mm-hmm. These robo-texts.
Yeah.
The robo-text is the new robo-call. And it's these candidates that are slamming you with, you know, vote for candidate A or vote against candidate B or... And I generally have some, like I got a Jim Baird one the other day. And I just responded, I would sooner jam my eye out with an ice pick than vote for Jim Baird.
You replied to the robo-text?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know if somebody sees it or whatever.
Yeah.
But the robo-text is, they're out of control and there's too many of them. And I heard this from multiple people that it's really starting to piss people off, that it's like, hey, this is my cell phone, and, you know, your 93 mailers, Jim Baird, that you sent me was sufficient to know how much you suck at your job as a U.S. rep. I've got it covered. I didn't need a robo-text to confirm this. And you said you're getting the same thing.
Yeah, Bill Frazier's blowing up my phone.
Yeah, come on, Bill.
And he keeps telling me about how he worked with Reagan.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's a little too much. I don't like that they have my number.
That's what I was going to say. You're on some sort of list then.
Are you getting robo-text?
I'm not getting the robo-text from candidates. I get all the surveys.
Oh, yeah.
And I took the one.
Did you take them?
I did.
I went back and forth. I got a couple of those and I didn't take them just because I would take it over the phone if someone were to call me. But it's like you get the, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. or somebody associated with him is a horrible offender of this. I get texts about him and from him all the time. And it's like, if someone from Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is hearing my voice right now, let me be clear to you. I would never, ever, never, ever, 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 never, ever, 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 never vote for that guy and his psychotic, warped view of the environment and my role in it. So you can, I don't know if you're getting charged by the message or there's some sort of fee
or
whatever.
Take Rob Kendall off your list.
You are wasting your time putting me on that list. But I struggle with this because I realize it's the 21st century. The game has changed. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't have landlines anymore. They're trying to figure out how to reach people. But I have heard from several people that the robo text is making them vote against the candidate in question.
There's a lot of that going around.
Right.
Voting against candidates. Speaking of RFK Jr., Kevin Spacey has endorsed him. Actor Kevin Spacey.
He called him
a loyal friend who leaned in when the world turned their back on him. And this is something interesting to consider. You got a guy like Kevin Spacey who is endorsing RFK Jr., calling him a loyal friend. We were just talking about friendships earlier. But Kevin Spacey, he worked on Jimmy Carter's presidential campaign. He was a friend of Bill Clinton's. He praised Barack Obama when Obama was in the White House and he was working on his Netflix show, House of Cards.
So he supports Democrats.
Right. So this is the guy that is endorsing RFK Jr. So if you're one of those people who's thinking that RFK Jr. is maybe middle of the road and if I don't like Trump, I don't like Biden, maybe I'll go with this guy. No, that's who he is. He's a Democrat.
Well, we've talked about this, that... And you see this with Democrats every so often where, and Tulsi Gabbard's kind of that way. Like she's very good on the medical freedom. She's very good on the anti-war military industrial complex stuff. But there's the majority of their views are totally wacko leftist views. And like you don't hear about them on a Fox News because Fox is pushing an agenda when they have them on. They want to talk about things that are of kind of in agreement with their audience. And that's what the people get exposed to. In the case of Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the majority of his life has been spent promoting what the average person would view as radically left policies. Again, he has very fine views on medical privacy and medical freedom, and that's good. That's fine. But he's on camera talking about wanting to put people in jail who don't agree on his view on the environment. Now, look, I know none of that was registering in your head when you were literally digging your nails into his pectoral area when you got that photo together. But for those of us who don't make the decision, you know, based on some sort of logic rather than our hormones. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got to stand up for America, Casey.
He was grabbing a hold of me pretty tight and having my picture.
Hard to blame him.
I don't blame him for that. Have you seen me?
Be honest. But, when you went home and you showed that picture to your husband, was the first thing Jim said, what the hell is this? I mean, this looks like a dime store novel, you and Fabio there on the cover.
You know, honestly, I don't even know if I've shown it to him. That's how important it was to me. But you like to bring it up. Kevin Spacey, he's got this documentary coming out on Monday. It's called Spacey Unmasked.
Oh, no.
And this is a documentary that details all of the sexual abuse and harassment allegations against him, although he was cleared from all of those a year
ago. He's never been convicted of anything, right?
He was acquitted on all the sexual charges.
All of the horrific things he's been accused
of. And found not liable in two separate cases.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to say. And the standard for civil court is lower than the standard for... criminal court. Mm-hmm. And so by that standard, the guy may be a complete weirdo, but it seems like courts and juries have found no wrongdoing.
Yeah, no evidence.
And being a weirdo, it ain't a crime to be a weirdo. Mm-hmm. Do we feel bad for Kevin Spacey? Like, I mean, he is a weirdo, but he's not a criminal.
He did lose his career.
Yeah, he did lose his career, but he is not a criminal. And he keeps winning in civil court, so I don't know. Do we feel bad for Spacey?
No.
Maybe we do.
I don't. By the way, RFK Jr., he posted a...
Hope you're never on my jury if I'm ever facing some sort of...
Cold!
Court system.
I don't feel bad for him. RFK Jr. posted a video on his Twitter account. It was narrated by Woody Harrelson. So he's got a...
father killed a federal judge.
He's got
fine group of
all of the actors rallying behind him. It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.